Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. This is show number 2 of Lensless, and in tonight's show we have a special guest with us. Monty Smith from Monty Smith Photography is here to discuss the Git Swap project. Me and Mark spoke about this project last week a little bit. We're going to discuss some more about Worldwide Pinhole Photography Day. We got an email from a listener about multiple exposures, and I received my Ondu 5x7 pinhole camera just this afternoon, so we're going to discuss that a little bit. Hey, Mark, how's it going? We are just waiting for Monty to click in. How was your week?
There she is.
Hey.
Hey.
All right. You there, Monty?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. So last week we talked about the Git Swap project.
Yes.
Me and Mark did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that we skipped some major things. So if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we can maybe go into a little bit about the Git Swap project.
Okay. So my name is Monty Smith, and I live in the Portland, Oregon area, kind of up on Mount Hood, sort of near Mount Hood. And I like to do pinhole photography. I'm a film photography person, but I really like pinhole photography a lot.
We do too.
Yeah, I know. You guys are both very talented.
Thank you. You are too. I love looking at all your photography.
And I'm also a children's librarian too. So sometimes that comes out in my social media stuff, I guess. So the Git Swap project is basically what we're doing is we are sending a pinhole camera around the world and we're doing film swaps with it. So, so the basic idea is one person shoots a roll of film and then rewinds the film and then sends the camera on to the next person and they shoot over that roll. So they're double exposing over that roll. And then they shoot another roll, rewind it and send it on to the next person. So that's kind of like the basic gist of the idea. And the images that we're shooting in the camera are getting posted on a blog that I have gitswap.org. And, yeah, so that's just kind of like just the real basic sort of just.
Is there a story of why this started or how it started?
Yeah, let's see. So I really like doing film swaps. And as we talked about earlier, Mark, I mean, you and I did a film swap a few years ago. Oh, I know. I would buy the, now I can't, my mind is blank. I was inspired by another traveling camera. And let me, I got to get the name of it because I would feel really bad if I didn't.
That wasn't, well, it wasn't, I'm going to say his name. Was it Hamish Gill?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was a traveling Yoshida project. So I participated in that and I loved it. It was really fun. And so it just kind of like the idea of doing sort of a film swap with a camera, traveling camera kind of idea popped into my head. And so I kind of gave it a test run with a friend of mine in Ireland who I've done a bunch of film swaps with. And we used my first pinhole camera, which was a Holga, pinholga, and it worked pretty well. So I decided, I'm going to use the Holga to use for this project. So we started sending the Holga around and it broke. It didn't last. It lasted maybe 3 people. And
the Holga broke? Really?
Yeah. So my friend Todd Schlummer printed up a pinhole camera for it. So,
oh, that's cool.
So then we moved on. Yeah, it was really super cool. So then we moved on to the Schlemm camera, and that went to like a few people, and then somehow that camera got lost. And so now we're sort of reinvigorating it. He printed up a new camera for it, kind of like his newest model. And it just got sent out into the world to England. And so now it's in England. And so I'm kind of excited to jumpstart. We just kind of decided to restart the whole project because I started it it was several years ago that I started it. And I had a lot of people signed up for it. And I kind of feel like they probably forgot about it by now, you know? So I decided to sort of restart the whole thing with a new list of people. So
cool.
Because
Mark sent me some information about it. He's like, hey, you should check this out. I think you'd be cool. I think you'd like it. It'd be fun, you know? And he said, I've signed up for it. So I was like, okay, I'll sign up. And I'm stoked. I'm getting it. It's coming. I can't remember where it's coming from when I get it, but I'm sending it to Texas. I know that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So let's see. I have the page up. Yes, you are sending it to Texas.
Yeah, I'm sending
You're
it
getting
Texas.
It from the Philippines.
Cool.
It's coming from the, yeah. So
right on.
And the original idea was the original title of the project was the Great Transatlantic Holga Project or something. I wanted the word, the transatlantic was like a big part of it, and so my idea was it had to cross the Atlantic Ocean,
sure,
in between each thing. And then so that was sort of the original idea. And then I have a friend in Australia who's really interested in doing it, and so I was like, well, we need to just kind of expand this and make it more worldwide. So
right on.
So we switched it to the title to Git Swap, which stands for Great Swap.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a roll of film and I'm going to shoot it with the camera, because I've been wanting to try one of those cameras. The 3D printed one that the Schlemm makes. It's the
yes.
Terrapin. I'm going to shoot a roll in between those two rolls. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah.
I'm going to test it out. I really want to test it out and see.
Yeah.
Give it a little run and see what's going on with it. Because Mark, you have one. You have a couple, don't you? A couple of his cameras?
Yeah, I have currently three of his different Terrapin incarnations. I have a 6x5, a 6x9, and then I kind of picked up the Oscar, which is a 6x6 recently.
Right on. And
yeah.
Do you shoot any of his? So let's do this real fast off the subject of the Git Swap. But Moni, what is your what's your major your favorite format or camera or combination of camera and format
for
doing
pinhole?
Yeah.
I really like, I kind of go in sort of phases. Right now I'm really into the Reality So Subtle 6x6.
Oh yeah, me too.
Because it's new and it's got the two like little pinholes and stuff. And so I'm having a lot of fun with it. So that's kind of what I've been shooting with mostly. I have a couple of the Schlemm cameras also. And I really like his Terrapin Bijou. And so that's a favorite. I'll take that usually. A lot of times I'll take that with me on trips and stuff because it's really lightweight.
That's the 6x5? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And I like that format. I like it a lot. I think there's kind of
That's almost the same kind of aspect ratio as like 35mm, and 6x5 is a 3:2 ratio. I think I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's longer than it is taller. You know what I mean? So it's not quite. It's definitely stretched out more so than square.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it kind of works. I don't know. I like that. It kind of works with the way I sort of look at things, I guess, and compose pictures. But I think my most favorite camera, though, I guess of every all of them, is the Zero 2000.
Yes, that's cool. A very nice camera.
I love. Yeah, it's just I always come back to it. I mean, there's some things about that camera that frustrate me.
Yes, I agree.
But yeah, like I really wish that you could rewind film in that camera.
Yes.
that's what I liked about the reality so much is you can rewind the film, but also. The shutter buttons are so recessed. I can just put it in my pocket. I don't have to worry about dealing with a rubber band to keep the shutter from opening.
Yeah.
So just those two things alone make it a little bit easier for me. If I was going to be using it where you just go out and shoot a roll of film one day and you're not really putting it in your pocket, I mean, the Zero image would be perfect. You know what I mean? That would be nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. The shutter opens and just you have to use gaffer tape all over the all over the camera to keep things, but it produces such beautiful photos. It consistently produces such beautiful photos, so I really like it for that reason, and that camera and Ektar is my favorite combination probably.
Yeah, I need to shoot more color. I gotta get back into it. I've been on like a I'm developing at home now, and I've just got a little darkroom set up, so I'm totally just like, I mean, you know, black and white is just how I'm going to have to do it for a little while, you know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting into developing the color.
Oh yeah. You
but
should.
I don't,
yeah.
It's, I don't know. I might do it. I might not. I've heard so many stories about having to keep it. The temperature so steady with it, you know? So
it's really easy to do though. It's not hard. I was kind of nervous about it for a long time. And then I started doing it and it really isn't that difficult, but the thing is, it's so inexpensive to, have a lab develop your color film that it's almost like worth it just to send it off to a lab.
Maybe,
you know?
How much are you paying for it? What's it running for you a roll?
Well, I send it over to, like there's three different labs in Portland that I can go to. So I'll just either, you know, I go to all of them pretty much, but, I probably go to Blue Moon the most.
Right.
And, it's not, you know, it's not, I don't know off the top of my head, but I want to say it's something like, I should probably like be more accurate. I want to say it's $250 a roll just to get something developed.
Really?
Or something, but I could have gone
holy
up.
Cow.
I don't know.
No
been,
way. That's insane. Been, no, I mean, that's good. Cause I mean, I don't have anywhere near me at all. If I mail it, I'm, you know, I'm mailing it out and
it's expensive to mail out.
To do it. That's why I'm kind of like, I can't. That's why I was looking at the price of the Tetanol kits. I don't know, it's like $50, but I'm like, if I'm going to develop 10 or 12 rolls, it's worth it. You know what I mean? Because that's not even a third of what it's going to cost me
totally
to mail it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a great price. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with me, though, is I live about 45 minutes outside of Portland.
Right.
So it's not super convenient for me to
drive all the way in.
So, so I mail it in actually. And actually it's $6. It's $6 a roll to develop. Hey, 120.
That's still really good.
I just looked it up. It's pretty good. Yeah. So if I lived in Portland and I could just go to the actual brick and mortar place to pick up my stuff, it'd be cheaper, but I have to pay for shipping and shipping gets expensive. So,
yeah.
So once you factor in the shipping, it kind of gets more expensive. So I that's why I kind of decided to start developing my own film.
Sure.
But, it's pretty reasonable. If I'm going to be driving in and I can just drop it off and pick it up, then it's worth it.
I know. I remember maybe I think it was on your Instagram. I can't remember where I read it at, but, you had said that your first Pinhole camera was a box that just melted in the Portland rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that something you made, or was it like a kit that you had purchased?
It was a kit my husband gave me for Valentine's Day. And it was Pinhole Day was coming up, and so I decided to put together this little pinhole camera, and it was basically just like a little one of those little cardboard kits, 35 millimeter. And and I took it out on Pinhole Day, and basically just kind of I took it out one day and it kind of melted. Yeah, the rain just but it was really fun to put it together. And
Awesome. Mark, you got any questions, buddy?
No, I'm enjoying the I'm being the audience right now. Melding in with the audience. Wonderful.
Hanging in the back. Cool. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back in a second. Hey, Mark, we talked about Worldwide Pinhole Day last week.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So what we'd like to know, Monty, is what is your plans for Worldwide Pinhole Day?
So for Pinhole Day this year, I'm going to be going to Norwich in England.
Wow.
And I know. I'm so excited. And wow. I'm going to meet up with a bunch of pinhole photography friends all over the world.
Cool.
And we're going to hang out and shoot pinhole together and probably drink a lot of beer in pubs.
Sounds awesome. I want to go so bad.
You totally can go. You guys are both invited.
You're flying us too? Oh my gosh, she's flying us to England.
Yeah.
Graham, Aid, we're coming. I swear, we're going to see you guys.
Yeah. So, and this is something we've been doing for a few years. We started in 2014. It kind of like started with a sort of a Twitter joke, and I don't quite remember the exact conversation, but it was a conversation between my friend Inga. She's Frau Inga on Twitter and Instagram, and then Alex Yates, and the three of us were kind of joking about something, and then somehow that conversation turned into us meeting up in Amsterdam for Pinhole Day.
Ooh, that would have been better than England.
And yeah, so we ended up, so it was like, I was like thinking, I've always wanted to go to Amsterdam. Maybe we should do this. And I told my husband and he was kind of like, yeah, let's try it. And so that's kind of how it started. And so that's how it's basically how I ended up going to Amsterdam in 2014 on Pinhole Day.
Right.
It was awesome. And I got to meet Alex and Inga and Brendan, my friend Brendan. He's Aware of the Void. You guys might know him. Jeff McConnell came and the Schlem came there. And actually, it was funny because that was how I met the Schlem. And he lives in Seattle. We're like really close to each other.
Definitely.
So that was really fun. And then we decided we were going to make this a yearly thing. So we've been doing that. The following year, they came here to Portland. And then last year, we went to, not last year, 2 years ago, we went to Barcelona, which was really awesome.
Yeah, that would be fun too.
Yeah, yeah. It was really fun. And then last year, we all met up in San Francisco. So this year, it's Norwich.
It was really big when I was following you. You guys went to Madrid because there was even like people from the Nopo company and some other really big people kind of came. I think was there some even people who came from South America or maybe I was wrong.
I don't know. There might have been. There were a lot of people there that I don't really know. And I mean, there were kind of a lot of people there.
Right.
And I didn't really even get a chance to chat with everybody. So,
I think that was the biggest one I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, at least on Instagram.
Yeah, it was pretty big. There was a lot of people there. So it's possible. And actually, the people, the South America crew invited us to Oaxaca. So anyway, if you guys want to go to Oaxaca next year, I think that might be the plan. Jeff McConnell is trying to get everybody to to Oaxaca.
He had a major project there this year, doing something with Pinhole.
Yeah. Down there. I think he did a workshop on Pinhole Day.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it again. If you're in North Carolina and you want to get together for Worldwide Pinhole Photography Day, let me know. We still have a month. And let's try and figure out a pinhole day walk, you know, whatever, just get together and see if there's anybody else in the state who's in the shooting pinhole and have some fun, have a fun day.
Yeah. It's totally fun to meet up with other pinhole buddies. Yeah.
I know there's a workshop in Durham. I think I talked about this last show in Durham, but it's like a paid workshop where you build a camera, and then you can go shoot it. And they have a little darkroom set up. So that's really cool. So I'm thinking maybe if nothing else works out, I might just go there and just do that. You know what I mean? And talk to whoever's there and maybe get some contacts, you know, that way. So we'll see.
Yeah. See if you can recruit
pinhole friends. Unite.
Yeah.
Mark, what are you going to do?
I'm still working it out.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I know that. Yeah, I don't know, man. We figure something out one way or the other. We'll see.
And you guys are aware of the Pinhole Day website,
yes,
and all that.
Yes,
you can actually create events.
Well,
that's
where I found out the that's pinholeday.org. Yeah. That's where I found the Durham workshop. Excuse me. And I was looking. I was like, wow, there's like nothing going on in the state at all. You know, I was like, I can't believe that there's nobody. You know, so we'll see. I think I'm gonna just make an event and just go somewhere. And even if I'm by myself, I'll just walk around and just take pictures and post them.
Yeah, there you go.
Just one lonely pinholer out about. Okay, cool. So we'll be right back. All right. So, Mark, guess what?
What?
We got an email.
Yay.
From Mr. Neil Piper. Do you know Neil?
I followed him a little bit on, I believe it's Instagram.
Yeah. He's a great photographer, and he has a really cool website, and he has a blog that's called Blogging a Dead Horse. And do you know Neil?
I don't.
Yeah. You should check him out. He's a great photographer, and he knows this. He has a great website, and that's at neilpiper.com, and that's where his blog is, so check it out. But so anyways, he asked me, this is our first email too, so woohoo.
Yes, we have a, you can email us at thelenslesspodcast@yahoo.com.
That's right. Or you can get Instagram or Twitter. So we are accepting questions, though, so feel free. And what Neil wants to know is, he wants to know about capturing multiple exposures. He says, when they are intentional, do you meter for each exposure separately, correctly, or do you underexpose each one? What I do is I take my exposure and I just cut it in half. That's basically it. Because we're doing, I mean, it's most of the time it's 8 second exposures or 15 second exposure. So I just kind of cut it in half and go from there. If I take my first exposure and I'm going to take the second half of my exposure, it's going to be more sky, then I'll take a little bit of time off. Or if I point my camera down and I know there's going to be a longer exposure that way, I'll add a little bit extra exposure to it. But that's pretty much how I go about doing it. And what I'll do is I'll take my first exposure, and then lately I've just been in the habit of just turning right, you know, 90 degrees, and just whatever's there, I just take my second exposure. And that's about it for me. I know if you're doing multiple exposures with, you know, a traditional camera, it's a little bit more trickier because you have to underexpose one of the pictures so that the sky blows out, or you have detail in the silhouette of the person. So I haven't done a whole lot of that, a little bit of it, but not a lot. So I can't really comment on that too much, but that's what I do. Mark, what about you?
I'm more of the same. I'll just cut each exposure in half, although I'm still working out which types of pictures to take in what order to get the best results, but
randomly is the best way.
Yeah, that seems to be.
Monty, what about you?
Yeah. I'm kind of a random type person, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to try these ideas, though, because they sound like really good ideas.
Yeah.
But when, so what we do. Is the first person who shoots shoots an f-stop right. faster than you normally would, you know, so just to kind of compensate for the multiple exposures on the film.
I got you. Yeah, because that's true. Yeah, because I mean, when I shoot the roll coming from the Philippines, I don't know. So I don't know if it's going to be better to just kind of pick muted scenes or like every other scene, pick a bright scene, you know, because I have no idea what's coming before me. So it's going to be kind of like, you know, what are you going to do? But I think I'm just going to randomly do it.
I think random's the most fun, actually.
You know, but he also says, I've read about underexposing, and that's what we were talking about that. So instead of giving each exposure the full 30 seconds, you give 15 seconds for each frame of film. So that'll be exposed at the correct time. So that's what I do. I just take my exposures and I just cut it in half. Sometimes I can line it up. Like if I see something, like I took a picture the other day of this foggy bridge with like the telephone wires and everything's going to the horizon line. And I just happened to look right before I even moved my camera. I just looked right and the bridge is going straight, you know, left to right beside me. And I just kind of turned and just kind of was like, okay, I want to put this through the middle of my frame. And I just had half my exposure. So I kind of got lucky on that one. So I think luck is kind of like half and half, 50-50, you know? So that's what I think the best thing to do is to just have fun with it, but just cut your exposure time.
Yeah.
Cut your time in half.
I guess because I shoot with a little more forgiving films, sometimes mine are just happy accidents and just happen to work.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Me too.
I was good. He said something else. Thanks again for the podcast, and hopefully you'll be able to answer this question for me and the listeners. Yeah, I hope we answered it, Neil. And go check out Neil. He has some great work, and he has a really cool website at neilpiper.com. And you can find him on Instagram at Neil Piper. All right. Cool. We'll be right back. So a couple weeks ago, I posted a picture on my Instagram page where I had built a 5x7 pinhole camera out of oak. I really wanted one. I couldn't really find one. So I just was like, hey, I'm going to build it. And out of the blue, Andu camera maker, they make pinhole cameras. His name is Elvis. Right, Mark? Elvis.
Yes, Elvis.
Elvis is the owner. And him and his brother make these cameras. And I think their mom sews the bags.
Yes, that's right.
That's pretty cool. But anyway, so he sends me a message. And he's like, hey, we make a 5x7 camera on Instagram. And he said, go take a look at it. If you like it, you know, I'd be willing to send you one. So I thought he just meant free shipping just naturally. I just, you know, I wasn't even thinking like a free camera. So I tagged a couple people, and I was, you know, hey, they're going to send me a free camera, you know, totally expecting him to be like, no, we just meant like free shipping, you know, and like, but he didn't. He actually, sent me a 5x7. Andu pinhole camera, and it's amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful. That's awesome. I pulled it out of the bag. I was like, wow. I was like, I don't even want to shoot it. I just want to like set it on my over on the bookshelf. You know what I mean? Like, it's so nice. And
yeah,
just everything about it. It's really nice. I haven't seen an Andu camera before, other than in pictures. I was really happy about it. You and Mark both shoot Andus, though, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So you guys. How is the craftsmanship on your cameras? Are they all nice and tight? I mean, just really nice.
Yeah, really gorgeous.
So I'm really excited about that. But it came today. I finally got it today. So that's I'm going to start exciting. Shooting with it. The first film I'm going to shoot with it is just to get used to it, is I'm going to use X-ray film. I have some X-ray film. So I'm going to give that a try and shoot with that and see what happens. Yeah, I'm excited. Awesome.
I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see how your pictures come out.
I'm kind of nervous.
That's cool.
It's so nice. I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. You know, I took out the bag. I was like, wow, this thing is amazing. I can't believe this. So
He does really good. He does beautiful.
Yeah. So, I've had, I've had people just stop me and just go, what is that? That's really pretty. And it's a camera.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, me too.
So thank you to Elvis for that. I'm definitely going to enjoy it and start shooting with it, because I really want to get into, I've been doing contact prints with my 6x6 negatives from my reality camera, and they make the, cool. They make the coolest little perfect little contact prints. I mean, they're burning and dodging them and everything, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh God. And they're so tiny. And you know, so yeah, fun. I got tired of messing with it in larger. I really wanted to get into contact printing. That was why I built a 16x20 camera, and I hadn't done any, a 16x20 pinhole camera, and I hadn't done any work with like paper negatives in a really, really, really long time. And I discovered really fast that paper negatives are totally different than film. So if anybody listening has any experience shooting with paper, let me know. Send me some tips about what you guys do to help with, you know, maybe contrast control or anything, because I'm starting over from scratch with that. Hopefully I can get some of the direct positive, the Harman paper that Ilford makes. My plan was to make this camera like 3 years ago, but then they stopped making that paper. I don't know if Harman went bankrupt or something. I can't remember. So I had started making it, and I had this idea in my head, and then I couldn't get the paper, you know, so that was kind of a bummer. Yeah. So I think they've brought it back out. I think Ilford took them over and is making the paper again. So
I think they are. Yeah. I think I heard.
Have you ever used any of that paper before?
I personally haven't. No.
No, I haven't either.
I'm kind of a paper negative newbie or whatever. I guess that wouldn't be a paper negative.
Yeah.
It was direct positive. That's a whole other world.
Yeah, that's totally what I'm thinking. You know, I did get some. I purchased some of the Ilford postcard stocks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm gonna start doing as soon as I get it dialed in, I'm gonna start doing little contact prints on postcards and sending those out.
Fun.
So next week I'm gonna print those this week. So next show I'm gonna talk about it some more and get, if anybody wants one, they can send me their address, and I'm gonna mail them out. You know, so
I have a postcard swap thing you could join.
Sure, that sounds great.
So yeah, I'll send you a link to that so you can send postcards.
That'd be
too.
Fun. But that's my experience with Ondu so far, and yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Well, that's about it for this show. It was fun to be able to talk to Mon about our the Git Swap program and what she's doing for the Worldwide Pinhole Day. Moni, again, thank you for coming on and speaking with us. And
yeah, totally.
Where Thanks can people find me. You if they see your work?
Well, thanks for having me. This has been really awesome to talk to you guys. And I guess if people want to find me, they can find me at my website, monismithphoto.com. And from there, it links out to my Instagram and Facebook page and Twitter page.
That's great. Thanks.
Awesome.
And Flickr.
You're
as
on
well.
Flickr too? Wow.
Yeah.
How do you do all of them? I can't do it.
I know. It's hard to keep up, actually.
So if you want to get a hold of me and check out my photography, I'm on Instagram at Pinhole Cannon. Or you can find me on Instagram also at The Lensless Podcast. And the email is thelenslesspodcast@yahoo.com. And I meant to say this to Neil Piper. I went out and I actually shot some pictures and I took meticulous notes. And those pictures are going to be up on the Lensless Podcast Instagram page. So if you get a second, go check out Neil Piper. His links for his website are on his Instagram page, and he'd greatly appreciate it.
All right. And if you want to find me, I'm Three Eyed Monster on Instagram, Flickr, and Twitter. So thank you, everybody, for listening this week.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming.
We'll try to cook up some good ideas for next week.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So everybody have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.